Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, the military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program, and Department of Veterans Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now, here's Tom Lyons.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's Year in Review show, we'll speak with the Minnesota National Guard and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs about the events from 2012. Joining me now is the Adjutant General of the State of Minnesota, Major General Richard Nash. General Nash, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom. It's always good to be on the air with you.
Sir, we're talking about the Year in Review today. It's already been 2 years since you took command of the Minnesota National Guard.
You know, it's one of those things when you get older, Tom, as you probably are going to be aware of in a few years, you don't know where time goes.
I certainly don't, sir. This show kind of coincides with your command. We've been on the air 2 years as well, and I don't know where they went.
I just remember back when you had the concept for this, and we sat over in St. Paul, and you asked, you know, what did I think about this? And I thought it was a pretty creative idea, and it's been extremely successful, and I got to thank you for that, Tom.
Well, you're welcome, sir. We've had a lot of fun with it, and we've been able to tell a lot of good stories about all the great work that the Minnesota National Guard does on the state mission and the federal mission. Sir, I know that your first 2 years in command, you've had deployments all over the world, and you've still got soldiers and airmen deployed. Can you tell us a little bit about those?
Sure. You know, as you mentioned, Tom, you know, we began this year with the most deployed service members overseas at any one time since 9/11. I think people tend to forget about that because we've been in almost a decade of constant deployments. But this past year, we've had more than 3,000 deployed in various countries around the world and are ending the year with one of the smallest overseas deployments since 9/11 with about 350 service members in the Minnesota National Guard. But all of these were very important and vital missions that we were sent on and accomplished with success and honor. But some of the more interesting and high-profile deployments this year, I wanted to just give your listening audience an idea of what we've been up to. 2,700 soldiers, as you know, recently deployed out of the 1st Brigade, redeployed from the 1st Brigade Combat Team and returned from their successful deployment to Kuwait and to Iraq, where they provided one of the last convoys leaving Iraq with the OIF mission in December of last year. And 150 of our airmen from the 148th Fighter Wing in Duluth, the F-16s deployed to Afghanistan and provided close combat air support for our ground forces. I know as a veteran of the Air Force, Tom, you know how important it is to have F-16s over your heads when you're on the ground and engaging in combat. So they did a wonderful job and had succeeded in every mission that they were assigned in. And I would be remiss to say that with the months that they were deployed into that theater with new aircraft, Block 50 F-16, they did not have it one mission that was canceled due to maintenance. So that's really kudos to the great maintainers that we have up in Duluth. And we also had 16 soldiers from the Guard that were part of the Minnesota National Guard's agribusiness development team, headed up by Colonel Alness, returned from Zabu Province, Afghanistan, where they assisted the local government and farmers on sustaining agricultural practices in the southern part of Afghanistan. And now, as I mentioned, we have the 350 soldiers and airmen currently deployed, and the missions are certainly different than what we've had in the past because we've had chaplain support that actually deployed to Kuwait to support the service members that are assigned there, finance that we really don't think about, but we have to be able to pay our soldiers, take care of the paperwork, and they're doing a great job, as well as working with contracts that our military is asked to provide. And military police are now deployed into Afghanistan, working on operations, helping the Afghan military understand how to do detainee operations, and they're doing a wonderful job. And that's the 247th MP Company. And we also have helicopter and fixed-wing aviation assets that are supporting the war effort in Afghanistan.
General, there's a lot of press when the 1st Brigade Combat Team was deployed to Kuwait because there's 2,700 soldiers over there. But even though they're home now, we're getting a little less coverage. But you have smaller deployments going out all the time, and they're still scheduled, and they're every bit as important, aren't they?
They are. And we continually get requests through the National Guard Bureau and from our senior military leaders for continuing operations because, as you and your listeners know, the operations in Afghanistan will continue, at least according to the president, combat operations through December of 2014. So we still have to support the men and women who are carrying out our strategy in Afghanistan.
And General, while your soldiers and airmen are deployed, it's very important that the we've developed the Yellow Ribbon Networks in Minnesota, and they've grown dramatically this year, haven't they?
You know, the Yellow Ribbon Networks is just a wonderful organization that is across Minnesota. And it's really communities coming together for a common cause. And in a state, obviously, with no active duty bases, Minnesota strongly supported our service members who have deployed active, reserve, and the Guard. And through these networks, you know, they certainly have become a vibrant support network for our service members. That's called the Yellow Ribbon Networks. In 2012 alone, Governor Dayton proclaimed 73 cities, 10 counties, and two companies the Yellow Ribbon status. And that's huge from when it started in approximately 2008. And, you know, you would say, well, why is it important to have those networks across Minnesota? Because I think going back to General Shelto's term, it's bringing our service members all the way home. And this network and what they've done really creates an awareness through those Yellow Ribbon communities and the campaigns that they have, synchronizing and sustaining the communities and the support networks and brings those together for a common cause. But they also connect and coordinate the organizations within those communities. Agencies and employers and companies provide resources that support our service members and their families.
Sure, we've had a lot of those Yellow Ribbon Networks on the show, and they're doing a fabulous job out there supporting the military families. And I don't remember anything like that 40 years ago, but I'm certainly glad we've got them now.
Well, you're right, Tom. I certainly, when you came back from Vietnam, and I think that's what really stuck with the former Adjutant General, General Shelto, and he says, never again.
Never again. We're speaking with Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash, on Minnesota Military Radio. General, when the 1st Brigade Combat Team was over in Kuwait, I understand that one of the most serious items that you wanted to take care of issues was employment. You did a survey before they went, and it sounded like a lot of them were going to come back without jobs, maybe go to school. I know you instituted a serious program to help with that. Can you tell us about it?
Sure. Last year, Tom, I and the Command Sergeant Major, Sergeant Major Kahlberg, traveled to Kuwait to visit the 1st Brigade Combat Team over the Thanksgiving period of time. And I talked to the leaders on the ground across five bases in Kuwait. And the biggest concern that they had was coming back to Minnesota, where at that time we had a significant unemployment rate, certainly not as high as it is today and certainly not as high as it was nationally, but a national unemployment rate that was staggering. And their main concern was employment when they came back. Was their job going to be here just because maybe a company went out of business while they were gone? And others were looking to seek different employment, and some just did not have a job before they deployed. So it was a concern of mine when I found out from my surveying of the leadership that approximately 28% of the brigade combat team, about 2,700 soldiers, we're going to have significant issues with employment. And so I thought we got to do something about that. So we put together a team, a working group that we call the Interagency Employment Work Group within the Minnesota National Guard, pulling together interagency partners from the Department of Employment and Economic Development, Veterans Affairs, Department of Revenue, the Chambers. And so I put together a team that we sent to Kuwait with it took a lot of effort to do that, sending civilians to a combat zone. But we put together a team of 11 individuals from DEED, MINSCU, the Minnesota State Colleges and University System, St. Paul Chamber representatives. And three of our key businesses that were Yellow Ribbon corporations. I had a whole list that wanted to go, but we had to trim it back. But we had human resource professionals from Target, Best Buy, and U.S. Bancorp that traveled to Kuwait and worked 12 to 14 hours a day working with our service members who had concerns about employment or were seeking a job. And they worked with them in a number of areas, working on job training, networking. How do you do that? How do you convert your civilian skill sets and your military skill sets to a resume, a current resume that corporations really look at now and updating what you've had in the past? And then also interviewing techniques, as well as a 30-second elevator speech. What do you do when they have a stack of resumes in front of them? How do you make yourself distinguished from them? And so they train about 1,100 soldiers on the ground, not only from Minnesota, but also from four other states that were serving alongside of them in Kuwait. And it certainly helped to have these three nationally recognized corporations, because now service members, if they were not even from Minnesota, could pick up the benefits from these nationally recognized companies in terms of how do you go about finding a job. And so the success of that, and the bottom line was, since they returned in April and May with a 28% unemployment rate, and with the number of job fairs, 500 that we put on during the summer and early fall, four of them sponsored by the National Chamber of Commerce, we've been able to take 28% unemployment and get it down to less than 1.5% in Minnesota.
What a magnificent job, sir. We're just about out of time. We have to take a short break, General. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the year in review. This is Minnesota Military Radio. We've been speaking with Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been talking with Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash, about the year in review. General, I know that the Minnesota National Guard is a citizen soldier organization that partners with many agencies, and we've talked about some of them on the show here. Can you tell us about some of those partnerships?
Sure, Tom, I'd be happy to. You know, we've really reached out to our interagency partners within the state of Minnesota with the leadership, obviously, from our Commander-in-Chief, Governor Dayton, and his great team to work partnerships. And, you know, we're certainly proud of what we've done with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and Commissioner Shelato and his team in terms of how we've operated within the state. I'll just cover some of the issues that we've been able to accomplish this past year in reaching out to make not only Minnesota better, but also our Minnesota National Guard. And I have to tell you, though, that the Minnesota National Guard, first of all, was awarded the 2012 Best Radio Program by the National Guard Bureau for the weekly public affairs show, the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. And so that's kudos to you, Tom, for your vision 2 years ago of what you thought would be a program that would be certainly interesting but also informative. And when I listen to the program and the other guests, I always come away learning something that I did not know. And that's saying quite a bit after doing this for 40 years, that I find out things through this radio program. And I want to thank Clear Channel for being able to make this really a public service, I believe, for all Minnesotans. But we also, in the joint area and interagency, the Guard participated in a joint agency April Financial Literacy Month, which I think is very important for our young service members, not only in the Guard, but all reserve components. The other 6,000 Navy, Marine Corps, Air Force, Army, and Coast Guardsmen that reside in Minnesota. But we also went ahead and with the Minnesota Department of Public Safety, partnered with them at Camp Ripley and opened two important facilities. First one was the Emergency Training Center that we have at Camp Ripley, and the last one that just recently opened was the Emergency Vehicle Operations Center that the Public Safety, the State Highway Patrol, and other interagencies that have a need to operate vehicles on our highways to be trained at Camp Ripley. So it's a wonderful facility that we're very, very proud of in partnering with the Department of Public Safety. Another key partner that we have certainly at Camp Ripley is the Department of Natural Resources because they help us and assist us with our special hunts that we put on at Camp Ripley for our recently returning service members and our veterans as well as our disabled veterans that has great support from the DNR, and we appreciate that partnership. We also have worked with local, state, and federal partners to garner $565,000 in federal and another $480,000 in state funding provided to our partner, the Board of Water and Soil Resources. It's called BOWSER as an acronym. And in the military, we all have acronyms. So the Board of Water and Soil Resources to help develop an Army-compatible use buffer zone around Camp Ripley. And this will guarantee the land use around that military reservation in central Minnesota that's consistent with our military training that's required, as well as being good environmental stewards.
Sir, we've had the commander of Camp Ripley on the show several times, and you've got to be proud of that. That's got to be one of the best facilities in the United States for training.
It you know, we accomplish both. We take care of the training that we have, both Guard, Reserve, Active. All DOT entities use that facility, but the most proud thing we are is the environmental stewardship that I mentioned that we have there. We do bear studies up there. We do timberwolf studies up there. We do banding turtle studies up there. The flora and the fauna, just we partner with our universities in the area to come down and provide training for their students. And it's just really a model for the nation. And they have won national awards for how well we can make that a compatible use for the citizens of Minnesota as well as accomplish our military training.
Sir, I know you've also got some international partnerships that you've been busy with this year.
We do. Actually, in February of this year, we'll be celebrating the 40th anniversary of the Norwegian-Minnesota partnership. It's the longest standing bilateral agreement in the Department of Defense. And so we're looking forward to celebrating that both in Oslo, Norway, as well as here in St. Paul, Minnesota. But we also have 100 soldiers from the 34th Red Bull Infantry Division that had recently traveled to Japan to participate in the United States Army Pacific Command's 30th annual Yamasakura post exercise that we do with our Japanese Defense Force partners. And that's been very rewarding for many years that we participated in that. And it was a very successful training opportunity for our soldiers just recently. In the coming year, the 34th Division, again, the headquarters is conducting a training exercise in Australia. And so we're looking forward to that. They're training now to be able to do that from a command and control standpoint. So that's a great partner. And finally, I would be remiss if I didn't talk about our 17th year coming up in 2013 with our Croatia partner. They're our state partner for peace. And so over those 17 years, we've worked on a mill-to-mill, military-to-military basis with the great nation of Croatia, helping them out after the breakup of the former Yugoslavia. So we've trained with their non-commissioned officers, their officers, and it's matured to the point now where we're going to be engaging more of a military to the civilian to help them with state emergencies, fires, and earthquakes in that area so they understand how we operate in Minnesota, supporting our elected officials and our county sheriffs and our mayors of our cities of the first class, and how to respond to those emergencies for the betterment of their citizens. So I believe in the upcoming years we'll be spending more time with Croatia working on a civ-to-civ type basis, along with the Department of Defense and our State Department.
Sir, we've just got about a minute left, but I know that it's been an exciting year. You even had the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Martin Dempsey, here. What are you looking forward to for the next year? We've just got about a minute or so left, sir.
Well, you know, as you mentioned, the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs, General Dempsey, was in town. He met with the governor, and he spent a good part of the day with our soldiers and our families. And I'll just sort of give you a synopsis of what he talked about. And, you know, he mentioned that the Minnesota National Guard has been in the fight from the start, and that's over the last 11 years. And he went on to tell the group that was assembled for a town hall meeting that on that basis, he wanted to tell us how proud he was of what we've done and how you have put your lives on hold and how your families have put their lives on hold. And that he finished up by telling them that he was awfully proud of what you have done and wanted to come and tell us that personally. So that was pretty good when you get the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff coming to town. And, and was well received, and we had over 300 at that town hall. The other thing that I would like to tell you is that the Minnesota National Guard was awarded its third regional Emmy in 5 years for community partnership and broadcasters, and so I know our communications plan is getting out there, and we're talking to the citizens, those that we support. And finally, you know, one of my priorities, six priorities when I came into the position as the Adjutant General, was diversifying our force. You know, we have to be able to look like those that we lead. And the Guard has increased over the last year members from diverse backgrounds in Minnesota by adding an additional 75 people on a way to better reflect the population that we serve. And, you know, in closing, Tom, I just want to say that I'd like to wish all service members, wherever they are serving today, our veterans and our families, a very safe and prosperous new year. And thanks to you, Tom, for another great year providing the Minnesota Military Hour and the community benefit that I believe it does for all of our service members and our veterans and their families. It's just been outstanding, and I just enjoy coming on and conversing with you and telling the great story of our Minnesota National Guard, our great men and women, as well as those civilians, those state employees that support the Department of Military Affairs and the great job that they do.
General, we've learned so much about the Minnesota National Guard in the last 2 years and the fabulous job that all your soldiers and airmen are doing. Are you still looking for a few good men and women?
We are, Tom, and we have to replenish our forces for those that decide they're going to retire.
General, thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom, and have a great new year.
That was Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash on Minnesota Military Radio.
Hi, this is Bill Popp of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. The number one request of deployed soldiers, sailors, and airmen is take care of my family. The Minnesota Military Family Foundation does just that. We take care of military families. The foundation helps military families when a family has an unexpected financial crisis. We have replaced or repaired many furnaces and appliances, as well as fixed cars to help get children to school, daycare, or the doctor. And we've paid for the transportation and lodging for the family to visit their soldier in the hospital that may be thousands of miles from home. We help military families with many types of financial needs. Military families make many sacrifices. One way you can show your appreciation and say thank you is with your financial support. Please donate. Go to MinnesotaMilitaryFamilyFoundation.org. Another way is to buy support our troop license plates. Yes, we take care of military families.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, as we continue our year in review show, we'll learn what the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs has been up to in 2012. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelito.
I'm honored to be with you this week as we reflect on a great year. In 2012, our veterans' homes opened the doors to new state-of-the-art facilities, received best-of-class certificates, adopted and implemented the person-centered care model, and continued the implementation of a central pharmacy, just to name a few. Our homes have undergone a number of changes to improve the quality of care and gain operational efficiencies. We are very proud of the work we have done and continue to do as they care for our nation's heroes. On the program and services side of the department, 2012 was an exciting and productive year. Our claims and outreach division had another successful year. It is because of their knowledge and top-notch customer service that our agency is responsible for over $26 million in monthly disability compensation and pension payments to Minnesota's veterans and their families. Our Higher Education Veterans Program continues to be a nation-leading program, and in 2012, they served over 7,000 veterans, current military members, and their families at colleges and universities across the state. They also partnered with the Minnesota National Guard and Minnesota State Colleges and Universities on a month-long demobilization event for over 2,500 returning service members. Our employment initiatives were strong in 2012. We developed the Leaders in Veterans Employment Workshops, participated in veterans career fairs throughout the state, and partnered with other organizations to create the Interagency Employment Working Group. Our women's veterans participated in the inaugural Tee It Up for Women Veterans Golf Tournament, partnered with the VA Regional Office for a boot camp to veterans events, and developed a partnership with the League of Catholic Women to host the Living and Learning Series for women veterans. Our state cemeteries in Little Falls received an overall satisfaction rating of 97% and received a $1.4 million grant from the VA's Veterans Cemetery Grant Program. There are so many other strong divisions within our organization that had record-setting years. These are just a few of the accomplishments that made me proud to serve with such a talented team. Thank you for your continued support.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelleto. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is Reggie Worlds, the Deputy Commissioner of Programs and Services from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Reggie, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. Good to have you in the studio.
Well, thanks, Tom. It's great to be here.
Based on what the Commissioner said, you've had a busy year.
Very, very busy year. The Commissioner highlighted a lot of what I wanted to talk about today. But we've had a lot of really great successes this year that we can build upon and be proud of.
Reggie, I know that you served in the military. You're a fellow veteran.
Yes, sir.
When were you in, sir?
I was in from 1985 to 1992 during the first Persian Gulf War. Spent most of my time over in Germany. My battalion deployed to Turkey in support of Desert Storm. Left the military in 1992 from Fort Bliss, Texas. Lived in Florida for a little while. Moved to Minnesota with my wife. From that point forward, I got hired as a County Veteran Service Officer down in Martin County. Eventually moved up to Hennepin County as an Assistant Service Officer. 2004, I was hired by the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs as the initial outreach coordinator. My main job was to work in the underserved populations, mainly focusing on the communities of color, homeless and female veterans, and that endeavor proved to be very successful. There was a demonstrated need in those communities, and eventually moved on to other positions, and in 2010 was appointed Deputy Commissioner for the department.
Reggie, it seems to me that your military career and your career as a County Veteran Service Officer and all of those steps you took really were building you up to the point where you could be the Deputy Commissioner of Programs and Services.
Well, I'd like to think so, and I was also extremely blessed to work with some of the greatest veterans advocates in the state, I think in this nation, that really took an interest in wanting to do the right thing. And, of course, during the process of doing the right thing, I benefited greatly from their teachings and their mentorship, and achieved this great honor of being Deputy Commissioner.
Can you tell us a little bit about your role and your duties as Deputy Commissioner of Programs and Services?
Yes, sir. As Deputy Commissioner, I provide executive oversight of several different programs to include our Federal Claims Office, our State Benefits Office, higher education, our veteran cemeteries, and a number of other programs, such as our Minnesota CORE program, which stands for Case Management Outreach, Referral, and Education, which is a partnership with Lutheran Social Services, which provides community care for veterans with regards to counseling, whether it be financial, family, personal, and it's been a great ride and a great program to partner with LSS on. The really great thing about this program is that it provides, you know, not only assistance for the veteran, but also for those family members, the children, to make sure that family member and that family unit stays whole and kind of heals and grows together.
We're speaking with Reggie Worlds, Deputy Commissioner of Programs and Services with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs on Minnesota Military Radio. Mr. Deputy Commissioner, has to be a busy time. I know you take care of all veterans, whatever age and whatever war that they were or time they served. But it seems like the last 10, 12 years, the Minnesota National Guard's had lots of deployments, and we've got folks coming back that want to go to school, and we've probably got some folks coming back that need some help. How busy has it been? And sounds like, the Commissioner made it sound like things are just getting busier year over year.
Well, you know, it really has. And the commissioner speaks to the tsunami effect, you know, what we're getting ready to. Well, it's been going on for years of these newly returned veterans coming back needing, you know, a diverse set of needs and developing really kind of as we go based on the information that we receive from the veterans community to meet those needs has been, you know, a challenge, you know, a great challenge, and has presented us with some opportunities to grow and to make sure that we're meeting those needs. But it is a huge community. You know, we're not only dealing with the guys that are, you know, recently returning from the National Guard and from the active duty components. We're also dealing with some veterans that have been around for a number of years, the World War II veterans, the Vietnam veterans, the Korean veterans. As they get a little bit older, their needs change. And we are fortunately on the cutting edge of taking care of those needs. We've been very, very blessed to work in or to live in Minnesota, where not only is it a community need, a veteran community need that we're trying to address, but also we've had some great support from our governors, from the legislature over the years to ensure that we're able to meet that need.
Mr. Deputy Commissioner, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I'd like to talk a little bit more about where our veterans start if they need help. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. I've been joined by Reggie Worlds, Deputy Commissioner of Programs and Services from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Mr. Deputy Commissioner, I've been told that the place for veterans to start is to get a copy of their DD-214, their discharge certificate, and go meet their county veteran service officer and make nice, make friends.
That's correct.
How does the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs fit into that for whatever the veteran might need?
Well, we partner very, very closely with our county veteran service officers. You know, if there is one place that I would tell a veteran that they need to start, it's there, because they are the entryway, the gateway to learning what their entitlements are. We provide, again, a very diverse set of programs that the county veteran service officers apply to or work with us to in order to help the veteran achieve or to meet their needs. When you go in and talk to a county veteran service officer, it's pretty much talking to the State Department of Veterans Affairs, it's talking to the Federal Department of Veterans Affairs, because these are the people, they have the knowledge and the expertise to solve any problem that the veterans have.
So they know where all the resources are.
They know where all the resources are.
So it's claims, they can get you to claims. If you're going to school and need help with the GI Bill, they can get you to the right office.
They make the appropriate referrals to whatever agency or entity the veteran needs to get to if they're not able to help them directly in their office.
All right, so that's the biggest message for our veterans. Go see your county veteran service officer. They'll get you to the right person.
They'll get you to the right person.
Now, how's this year been, 2012, and what are you looking for in 2013?
Well, again, as the commissioner stated in his address, it has been an incredible year for us. We've achieved some really incredible milestones with regards to our claims and education, and also some of the things that we're doing with our cemeteries and, you know, reaching out to female veterans and working with veterans employment. This next year, one of our primary focuses is going to be, of course, continuing to heighten awareness. There are so many veterans out there that truly still to this day, which is sometimes hard for us on the inside to believe, that they don't know what their entitlements are. They don't know where to start. They don't know where to go. So we want to work very, very closely with our partners out there, our county veteran service officers, our partners across the state, our partners in the nonprofit area, people like Mr. Tom Lyons here on our talk shows out here. To ensure that veterans know where to go in order to get the help that they need.
Reggie, I think some of our older veterans might not be aware that they're eligible for help. And one of the things that we hear about is a lot of the guys from my generation, Vietnam veterans, are starting to retire. And as they have time on their hands, they're starting to think about some of the things that they went through when they were in the war zone over there. What would you say to them?
I would say, again, to go see your county veteran service officer and to understand that, you know, you're not forgotten. You know, a lot of the benefits and things that are out there now for this current generation are because of the Vietnam-era veterans. They have been true partners, key components of the veteran community that have really were looked out for this current generation, and they really have a lot of disregard for their own well-being. And what we want to do is to let them know that we want to take care of you too. We want to take care of all veterans. It doesn't make a difference from what war period or where you served or how you served or what you did. If you have entitlements, we want to make sure that you get them.
Reggie, we got about a minute left, but last week we had on six of the commanders from the Veterans Service Organizations, of which there's nine in Minnesota, and you work with them too. How do you work with them, and how do they fit into the picture?
Well, they are truly champions for veterans out there. Our Veterans Service Organizations, the Commanders Task Force, you know, they have, you know, posts and chapters across the state. And a lot of the ideas that we get from the department in order to take care of our veterans come from them. They are the people that are out in on the ground level that are seeing things, and they bring those issues and concerns to our attention and make sure that we're aware of them so that we can properly address them and make sure that we are doing everything that we can to take care of veterans.
Reggie, just a few seconds left. Any final thoughts for our veterans listening?
Yes, again, I can't tell you the importance of knowing who your county veteran service officer is. Please, if there is nothing else that you do, make sure that you go and visit your county veteran service officer, get that TD-214 recorded, sit down and talk with that individual, and make sure that you're not missing out on any of your entitlements.
Mr. Deputy Commissioner, thanks for joining us today.
It was great to be here, Tom.
That was Reggie Worlds, Deputy Commissioner of Programs and Services from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And now, from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard, joining us is Ernie Johnson. Ernie, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, welcome, Tom. It's really a pleasure to be with you and talking with you today.
Well, today's our year-end review show. Can you tell us what's going on with the Minnesota Patriot Guard riders?
Well, when you say Minnesota Patriot Guard, you think of the flag lines and the welcome homes and the deployments and what is normally done and what will continue to be done throughout the year. But in December, we kind of get involved with the Wreaths Across America and Wreaths for the Fallen throughout the state of Minnesota and get the wreaths placed on the veterans and killed in action so that we remember them. They have to be remembered throughout the year, and you'd be surprised when you get out to Fort Snelling, for instance, all the families that are there and all the organizations that back this tremendous effort, and it gets done. And like the Wreaths Across America happened in December 15th, and it was a success, as was Wreaths for the Fallen and all through the state of Minnesota.
And everything the Patriot Guard riders do is all about honor, dignity, and respect, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Ernie, can you tell us who's eligible to become a Minnesota Patriot Guard rider?
Well, you do not. Well, just first say, you do not have to ride a motorcycle, and you do not need to be a vet. You have it in the heart that you want to do something for the men and women that have, you know, fought over the years, and for our men and women in the armed forces presently, to support them, and when they come home, greet them. When they deploy, you know, greet them, wish them the best, and say we're gonna see you in a year. And that's kind of what we do. So you have to have it in the heart. You do not need to ride a motorcycle. We're not a motorcycle club, but what we are is very dedicated to our men and women of the military.
And your website, Ernie?
Pardon me?
And your website for our listeners?
The website is MinnesotaPatriotGuard.org, MNPatriotGuard.org. And when you get to the website, you will see join. Hit that, and it's quite easy. And very shortly, you will be greeted with all the information that you will need to continue and be on the flag line, and we will greet you with open arms. It is a very good organization. Does a lot of good things for our veterans.
Ernie, keep up the great work, and hope 2013 is a good year for all of the Minnesota Patriot Guard riders.
Thank you so much.
That was Ernie Johnson from the Minnesota Patriot Guard. We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week. Major General Rick Nash, Deputy Commissioner Reggie Worlds from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Ernie Johnson, and, of course, Commissioner Larry Shelledo of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Please join us next week as we go in-depth with Minnesota's Department of Military Affairs and learn about upcoming legislation affecting Minnesota's service members. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to Minnesota Military Radio with Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition firm. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Podcasts of the show are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.